Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Garoppolo, down 11, second and 10 at his own 25. Takes the snap. Here comes Suggs on the rush. They throw it deep middle, and the pass will be intercepted. It's intercepted. Kansas City, you've got a champion. Kendall Fuller seals the deal, and the Honey Badger takes a victory lap at 57 seconds to go in Super Bowl 54. The Chiefs have completed what has been a remarkable season of resilience, of teamwork, and of laser focus.
There's a second and two Jimmy Garoppolo interceptions as the Niners blow a 10-point fourth quarter lead and lose Super Bowl 54, leading to what we have described as a blenami, meaning the blowing from Jim Murray and the anti-Garoppolites is so strong and so heavy, it is meant to mimic a tsunami, except it is a blenami. And so we've come with our fall weather gear to withstand the blenami. First hour was a bloodbath. We then sort of switched to Brady topics, which we can continue with, but I don't want to deny the people their right here later on in the second half of the program, their ability to call up and blah Tony Maz and myself.
Oh, yeah. No, it's coming. It's already coming. It's coming in bursts, little pockets of downpours.
To paraphrase that annoying Travis Kelce at the end of the game, you got to fight for your right to blenami.
What did you call that loss last? Because you're Maz. I mean, I'm a big Garoppolo guy myself, but I think I'm the vice president of the Garoppolo fan club, you being the president. What was it? You called that loss last night. What was the word you used?
Devastating.
Devastating.
The most devastating loss of my professional career. Seriously. I've lived in Boston my whole life. I've seen lots of heartbreak. I've covered sports in Boston for 30 years, basically. That last night might have been the most devastating defeat I've ever experienced. I'm not sure it'll ever go away.
Did you feel good with 7 minutes left?
Yes.
I didn't.
When he was, at one point, when I looked up and I went, holy crap, he's like 18 for 20. He's had a solid game.
Oh, no. I don't mean that. Did you ever feel the game was over?
No.
No. Okay, so
because
I mean,
Kansas City's explosive.
Right. Oh, look.
Yeah, but Mahomes was so inept, though. And after that second pick, I'm like, it ain't his night. This isn't going to happen. This game's done.
When Mahomes threw that interception in the fourth quarter, KC's up 10 points, 12 minutes left. At that point, as you said, Garoppolo is something like 18 of 21. He's probably going to be named the game's MVP if it stays the way it is. And it was all, I mean, it was right there.
Oh, yeah, no, and that at that moment, I said, they go down and score, they got it. They got it. Especially a touchdown. I mean, if they can go down and get a touchdown here, drive it down the field, keep the ball for a little bit and score.
And then they even picked up a first down. And they were throwing. Shanahan, of course, is throwing on second and four. They throw a ball to Kittle over the middle. That was a poorly thrown ball. Should have gone in the dirt, and Kittle made this great diving catch for 12 yards. Okay, first and 10, 38-yard line, 10 and a half minutes left, up 10 points in the Super Bowl. They run it once and then throw, punt. Get the ball back, run it once, throw, punt. Ugh.
Best running attack in the league.
Woof.
Yeah, they did. Shanahan cracked. Garoppolo cracked. They all cracked. It really was. It was unbelievable to watch that thing just deteriorate and disintegrate the way it did.
So I have no problem saying, you know, overall for the night, F, failed. And if you just want to go to the last two drives, last three drives, you know, so then they go down and they start to drive a little bit. And on third and 10, you know, tough pickup, low percentage play. But he's got Manny Sanders deep over the top of the defense. Got him open, overthrows him by 10 yards. I have no problem putting all the weight on those last 5 minutes versus the first 55 or whatever. It's the final minutes of the final exam. You're graded more on those questions and that test than anything else. So, F, he failed when the game and they needed him the most. And now you want to blame Shanahan? You know, it's part and parcel. They each had a chance to bail each other out. You know, Shanahan calling all those passes late. Garoppolo could have completed them. Garoppolo could have looked for Kittle, found Kittle, thrown to the open guy and made a play and bailed out his coach. And his coach could have bailed out his quarterback by just sticking to the run there.
But it's like his brain was broken from 28-3, and he wanted to be more aggressive by putting the ball in Garoppolo's hands. The problem is that Garoppolo wasn't ready for that moment. So I can actually understand it. You know, Shanahan's still having this residual after effect from what happened in that Super Bowl against the Patriots when he was the OC.
But it was the same problem. He threw then when he should have ran too.
Right.
It's not having the instinct of knowing when to run clock and how to grind the game out. He has no feel for that.
Yeah, no clue.
That guy's got to be traumatized from these two games.
Seriously, though.
My God.
I mean, two massive blown leads. Obviously, the Atlanta game was worse. They gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
And so and I thought Shanahan was categorically afraid of his quarterback last night. I don't feel it was true to this point. You know, again, I've sort of pushed back on that narrative, especially in the NFC title game, the eight passes. I mean, they averaged 10 yards a carry on the ground. I wouldn't throw either. I don't think Garoppolo did anything in that game to scare Shanahan. Last night, after Garoppolo threw that pick in the second quarter, Shanahan was afraid of him.
Yeah, no, that sequence at the end of the second quarter was huge.
Shanahan was afraid of his quarterback. That's why he let the clock, you know, wind down inside of 2 minutes at the end of the second quarter, which was an atrocious decision. Atrocious. I can see why he did it. He was afraid of Garoppolo. And on this night, maybe he was justified, except I think it's the NFL. And you have three timeouts and 2 minutes, and you deferred the opening kickoff for this exact situation. Play ball. You got to play.
Oh, my gosh. That's as cowardly as you'll ever see.
So he runs when he should throw. He throws when he should run. Just judging from these big games, I don't feel like Shanahan as a play caller has a feel for when to go for the juggler and when to grind somebody out.
He did. He did it ass backwards last night.
Again.
Ass backwards. Like, again, that sequence at the end of the second quarter, think of what that could have been. You know, you get 3 or 7 there at the end of the half, and they had plenty of time. There was an incomplete on third down. Oh, no. There was Kansas City was short on third down. They called a timeout and forced the punt. They would have had a minute 45 and two timeouts, something like that. Instead, they let the clock run down, and then they're scrambling to get points, and the OPI did them in. But again, they totally mismanaged the clock.
And everyone watching that game in the stadium at home thought, you got to call a timeout. I mean, again, John Lynch up in the box, the GM of the team, is making the motion like, timeout.
Oh, my God.
Call the timeout.
What? Andy Reid must have been looking across the field saying, I feel like I'm watching me and Donovan McNabb from 12 years ago.
That image of John Lynch calling the timeout is going to haunt Kyle Shanahan.
Absolutely it is.
I mean, everyone in the stadium, including his boss, is telling him to call a timeout, and he's so petrified of his quarterback that he doesn't do it. He knew the situation. He was afraid. So again, to this point, I've pushed back on the he's afraid of his quarterback narrative. Last night it was true, Murray. Last night it was true. Thus we have the Blanami. Boy, was Murray excited this morning. His email. What a great morning, he writes. What a great day. There will be a Blanami, he says. Kyle Shanahan is the most dangerous coach in the NFL with a lead in a big game. Holy crap, was that bad. Then again, having a jittery, nervous mess at quarterback doesn't help in that matter. Doesn't help matters in that situation, he says. San Francisco's last four drives of the game, starting when they were up 20-10 in the fourth. 5 plays, 17 yards punt. 3 plays, 5 yards punt. 7 plays, 27 yards, turnover on downs. 2 plays, 0 yards, interception. He really was like Goff in the end. Also like Goff, he'll never be back in this game again. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if that's Eli Manning, he hits a wide open Manny Sanders. What a great day, writes Murray. In other words, Don't you feel stupid, Maz?
I thought it was the worst day of my life. Seriously. Blanami. Oh, my God, was that devastating. Devastating. I told you. I felt like my manhood was absolutely cut off watching that game last night.
I am okay putting it all on that throw to Manny Sanders. That's it. That's the moment that counts. That's the only moment that counts. You can be like Eli Manning and suck all season or even have a crap, but you nut up on the last drive in the final quarter of the final game, fine.
Nick Foles makes that throw. Eli, you know, but that was his shot. And when the ball was in the air, I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to eat the biggest pile of crap in history. And he missed him by like 10 yards.
What do you call Foles? BDN?
Yeah.
I might have to start calling him LDJ. Garoppolo. Do the math, Mike. BDN or LDJ? Little?
Jeez, you really do need it written out for you, huh?
Oh, Jay. I'm telling you, I've lost part of my brain. I've lost it. But anyway, it's a Blanami today. Anything else you want to say, Murray, while you have the floor? You just want to...
Well, yeah, I mean so, just, you know, you break it down those last four
just
drives.
Just let it out.
Yeah, those last four drives of the game really paint the picture. But when you dig deeper, there's really so many great, juicy, and hilarious stats when it comes to Garoppolo in this game. So I don't know if you want to wait for them.
No, or... go ahead. Give it to us. Blanami. All right, just give it to me.
No, I want to OD on it, frankly. Go ahead.
1 for 9 for 20 yards and 2 interceptions when he was pressured and didn't complete a ball over 20 yards in the air. So we have that. His quarterback rating, first three quarters, 100.6. His quarterback rating in the fourth quarter, otherwise known as nut cutting time, 2.8. And that's a number.
Do you have his actual numbers in the fourth quarter?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, that one hurt.
I'll get to that, but
that
that's
one
a
hurts. 2.8.
A number I want to repeat like Dean Wormer. 2.8. 2.8. Not that great. 2.8.
I mean, whatever.
And you asked, so I'll give him to you, Maz. Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter overall. Ready for this? Biggest moment of his life. Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, I've been told, oh, you're wrong. No, we'd be better off. He's the successor to Brady. They're going to regret trading him. He should still be here. Fourth quarter, Super Bowl. 3 of 11, 36 yards, interception, fourth down sack. Oh, God, what a capper of a week. Great week in Miami. So much fun. So lucky to be able to do that. And I come home. It was so good. It was just a great, great night. A great night in the Murray Dome.
And before the second pick, do you remember the pass to Bourne that got batted down by the safety? That should have been picked.
Oh, yeah, slant over the middle. Yeah,
oh, my God. As soon as that one, I went,
No. You knew. Ooh. You knew it was coming. Even you. Even I was battening down the hatches for the Blanami halfway through the fourth. I'm like, I can feel this.
I mean, I was like brushing my teeth with my finger at that side.
Oh, mother bleeper. Oh, Jesus. And this win probability stat that you millennial nerds shoved down my throat.
Oh, boy.
You can suck the underside of my tuchus with your win probability. How dumb is that stat? Did you ever feel the Niners had a 97% chance to win or 94, whatever it got to?
No, I didn't even realize it was that high.
It was that high.
I would have said it would have been
stupid
in the
stat.
70s. Or...
You freaking nerds. Put your phone down. Put your laptop down. Watch the game. I mean, the win probability is 94%. Oh, suck it.
I'll tell you, that swing, when they got the ball with a chance to go up, you know, they were up 20-10 after the pick by Mahomes, the second pick. They had a chance to go up 13-17, and then they didn't score, and Kansas City got a touchdown.
You even keep, you just run some clock. You go, flip the field, run some clock. That's all you had to do there.
I just feel like you get a score to beat Kansas City. That's all. I just felt like, you know, they're going to get another one. They're going to get one.
You just needed him to show up on one drive in the final couple of minutes, and everything would have been fine, and I would be here with a bowl of crap today. And instead, you didn't get that.
No, instead.
They lost.
Instead, I have the whole platter of crap.
And here comes the Blanami.
With a ladle, the whole nine yards.
Join us. You want to pile on? By all means, we'll go right to you after these words.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Garoppolo able to stay upright. Breland is there for Kansas City.
Midfield, 2 minutes left, couple timeouts, down less than a touchdown. You sign up for that? Every quarterback worth the salt in NFL history would say yes. And Jimmy Garoppolo failed in that spot. He was horrible.
I don't think late in the game it's on Kyle. I think it's more Jimmy G's got to make those two plays. He made Jimmy Garoppolo do the exact thing he does not do well, which is play drop back quarterback.
Jim was right.
I was not going to co-sign on Jimmy Garoppolo. And I still haven't, and still won't. He's not great. I really don't have confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo, and I just don't think Kyle Shanahan did. It's one thing to have Matt Ryan throwing passes when he wins the MVP in a year. It's different when Jimmy Garoppolo's your quarterback. He's not great.
Jimmy G, whose performance early and especially late was flat out pathetic. The last 11 minutes, I think he was like 3 of 12 for like 36 yards, 3-11, 3-12, 36 yards. A quarterback rating of 3. Of 3! Jimmy G spent the fourth quarter showing us why he couldn't be trusted.
Just say it, Jim was right.
There you go.
We got to get to higher ground.
Care to jump aboard? By all means, now is your time. Johnny in Somerville. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of Warren Moon, Garoppolo. But the funny thing is, I think Murray on the broadcast one time said, I take Brady any day, even at 50, over Garoppolo. And I think you guys stuck with Belichick's decision. But if Brady played in that Super Bowl with that receiving core, the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl. San Francisco would have won with Brady at the helm.
Well, but hold on. I mean, who's ever said Garoppolo's better than Brady? The question was, did Bill pick the right guy and would he have been a worthy successor to Tom? And should they have made that move 2 years ago versus now, et cetera, et cetera? No one's saying the kid's better than... I mean, if Tom Brady was the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, they would have won the championship.
Correct.
Yes. Easily, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he'd also go to Kyle Shanahan and saying, stop being such a moron, Kyle. We're going to run the ball here. Right? And he would have the yank to do it. One of the best things we heard at Super Bowl week.
I know where you're going with
this. And I'm not going to tell you who told us this, who said this to us, but it was someone on Radio Row in the league who was associated with the Falcons. And they said to us, when we were talking about the Falcons Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, and he said to us, "You think Brady would have thrown the ball in that 2nd and 11? And that was the key play that took him out of the Falcons out of field goal range. I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? Do I think Brady would have thrown on 2nd and 11? It's like, "Well, it's not up to him, is it?" And the guy said, "Yeah, it is. There's no way he would have thrown there. Even if we had called in a pass, he would have run the ball."
See, this is why, like, there was so much blame to go around on that play, from the head coach for not stepping in, from Shanahan for calling a pass in the first place, and from the quarterback to actually put the ball, dropping back and put the ball up. I mean, it just led to one prob. They all whiffed.
And
they all whiffed.
And Brady's decision-making, generally, you know, he's not, no one's perfect, but is generally so solid there. I mean, just go to the next year then, the Super Bowl, a couple years later, last year, 2 years ago against the Rams, when Bill's actually thinking about going for it on 4th and 1 versus kicking whatever that was, a 30.
41. Chip
shot field goal. And Brady is the one that says to Bill on the sidelines, "Don't you mean field goal here, Bill?
Why don't we just kick the field goal? It's a 40-yarder.
And they ended up kicking the field goal. So, like, the quarterback is a part of that decision-making there at some point.
I mean, even Bill was wigging a little, as you said. And Brady said to him, "Why don't we just kick it? It's a 40-yarder. Can we kick it?"
Michael and Chelmsford, what did you think of that Brady commercial last night?
Oh, I thought it was awful.
Awful.
Awful. Absolutely awful.
Agreed.
I think it was probably the worst thing that he could have done for his career, but I think he's only trying to make money off of it.
It's just gross. It's cheap. It's like the decision, Brady's decision means a lot to a lot of people. And maybe we overemphasize sports and we're sort of nuts to care this much about it, but we do. But we do. And so Brady's going to purposely bait the hook. "I'm going to make a comment about my future. Maybe I'll be a Patriot. Maybe I'll be a Raider. Tune in to see. All right, I'm now going to tell you about my future, and here's what I have to say about it. Order Hulu for $9.99 a week." You know, it's just so cheesy and cheap.
Okay, but at any point, didn't you think it was all a setup for some other thing while he was doing while the commercial
was
on?
I told you, I knew it was going to be for a commercial, but I thought for sure it was going to be some sort of tribute to Kobe Bryant, where, yeah, they're trying to sell you shoes or, you know, whatever, but it's attached to something with a little bit of meaning, not an internet subscription.
And so, yeah, and so initially with the Instagram post on Friday, I liked the gamesmanship of it's just the photo, no comment, no nothing that gets people interested. And then you would mention it had to do with a commercial. I didn't think he would then play in the commercial like the "will I, won't I, well, I'm coming back." It has to, it's tied to his future. Like that, I just think is cheesy. Ugh. Just have a straight up commercial. That's all.
Fine, it's right. You sell me the internet subscription. It's all you're right. All I'm just saying is when you start yanking people around like that, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them don't appreciate it.
Yeah, it didn't bother me a ton. I mean, he's a free agent. It's the reality of it.
You were too busy sweating out Jimmy Garoppolo crap in his pants.
I was too busy getting my nuts cut off.
Let's be honest. Fred in Chicago. Go ahead, Fred.
The eunuch.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I loved the Brady commercial, and the basic reason is I'm a capitalist. I view it kind of like Maz does when he always says, quote, "I'm a slut for talent," end quote. That's what I am when it comes to capitalism. As long as whatever you're doing is lawful, right, we have to believe in the rule of law. If it can make money, do it. My issue with LeBron and the decision was he didn't go far enough. I thought he should have done a pay-per-view special for $99.95. I thought he should have sat on a gold diamond-studded throne with a crown on his head, and I even thought he should have contracted with HBO to do a 4-part 24/7 series, Fred, like they did for Floyd Mayweather fights.
Fred, I get it. Okay, you're consistent. You also have to admit, Brady has not done this to this point. You know, he's not selling himself out to internet subscription services and tying it to announcements about his future. I mean, it's just not what he's been, not what he's done. So it's even more jarring when he does it. If he were, you know, maybe Peyton Manning or someone who's more just, you know, hyper marketed from day one, maybe you could understand it. Brady's never really done this sort of stuff.
He's loosening his standards, though, isn't he?
I'd say so.
Like over the years, don't you think?
Yes.
Hulu? Remember when at one time it was like Ugg boots and the
watch and the
cologne or whatever the hell it was that he sold with the sheep and the goats or, you know.
Yeah.
Like
Stetson. I mean, not that that's fancy cologne, but either way.
Okay. Like, but it was like at least it felt like it was more selective. Now Hulu?
Now he's pouring out to whoever.
Hulu. Yeah.
And he's doing, what was the TV show he did with Paul Rudd where he was the clone in front of the strip joint?
Crap Netflix show.
Oh, my gosh. Like, he really is. He's cheapened himself.
Josh and Bill Ricka, go.
Hey, anyone who thinks the Pats should get rid of Brady is a fool. What are you thinking? Brady, in the same position last year, scored two straight touchdowns with 3.5 minutes left against Kansas City. I'm telling you right now, Kraft chose Brady. He will ride with him. Like he said, when you have the best of all time, you keep him for as long as possible. Oh. I mean, think about it last year.
Well, let's see, Josh. I'm just going to cut you off. Let's see. Robert keeps putting out there it's on Bill's. It's all about Bill.
Boy, they can't pour that on thick enough, can they?
It's all about Bill. I mean, I'll read you the Mike Florio post from the weekend again. Really just, you say Robert's never going to let him go? No, it's Bill's decision. That's what ownership keeps telling us. So I guess Kraft has no say in it.
I mean, and again, even in the current piece you were talking about, it was reiterated that this decision is one that will ultimately be Belichick's, and then it compares it to the Garoppolo trade in 2017. Reiterated. Like, let's just keep pounding it out there that this is Bill's call. They want nothing to do with it. They really don't. They want nothing to do with it. If Brady walks, they want to be able to say this was Bill.
And I'm just waiting for if they do re-sign him, and it is a big number where ownership stepped up, for me then to start to hear, well, Robert just couldn't stand the thought of Brady walking out
right,
the door.
Exactly right.
So if he stays and they save the day, believe me, it will be an ownership decision. You can bet your ass on that one.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
They had 3 timeouts. It was 10-10. The last thing we were going to do was allow them to get the ball with 3 timeouts, especially with their quarterback and offensive speed, to go in there and score before half. Felt real good. 10-10, especially with us starting with the ball. Thought it played out all right. Thought we should have got points, but they ended up calling that PI on Kittle, so it took it away.
That's Kyle Shanahan letting the clock run out just about in that second quarter, which I thought was as bad of a decision as any of them. It's like no feel for the game. In these big games, it's like When do we go for the jugular? When do we grind the game down? It feels like Shanahan, in these two Super Bowls anyway, had no feel for it. They've won a bunch of close games, so he must, and I've watched most of them, so they've generally been a good fourth quarter team and a good team in close and late games. They won a bunch of close games this year, so it's not like he's bollocksing the thing every week.
Till all the money's on the table.
Maybe it's just that, Maz. Maybe it's when the moment gets too big, and the bigger the game, the more he loses himself, because in these Super Bowls, it's like, oh my God, I know, look, he was afraid of Garoppolo last night. That's true. Last night he definitely was. And that's why he let the clock wind down at the end of the second quarter. But I don't care if your quarterback just threw an interception. It's the NFL. You deferred the kickoff for that exact situation. Just under 2 minutes, three full timeouts. That's an automatic. You go for points there, dude. Go for points. And he doesn't. Then at the end of the game, when he should be grinding him out and running the thing and running clock, he's throwing. It's like, no, flip it. Just the opposite.
I mean, and I don't want to hear him bitching about the Kittle call, which he was doing there too. And he says, you know, I thought we were going to get points. Because the mere fact that they ended up with the ball down there was by mistake.
Because KC called a timeout and they threw a little dump off to the running back that gained something. And they said, all right, fine, we'll chuck this one.
Exactly.
They
were
lucky.
I want to say it was like a 3rd and 9.
It was 3rd and 9. Reed called timeout and they hit the back out of the backfield who gained like a nice 25-yard gain, which got him up around whatever that was, the 40. So then they said, okay, we'll let Jimmy throw it deep because an interception deep is not going to hurt us.
Exactly.
So they were still petrified of him. But the only reason they got the chance to be for the OPI is because Reed called the timeout in the first place.
Right. It was by mistake. Again, Reed forced him into a throwing play, a pass play. And they connected on it. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, all right. Well, fine. I guess we can do this.
But despite,
that was gutless. That was so I'm sorry, Murray.
No, it's
that was so gutless at the end of the second quarter.
It was. And despite being afraid of him and me crapping all over Garoppolo, and now rightfully so, now that that came true, you have to be bold in that moment with three timeouts. Even just do what Garoppolo's comfortable doing. Set up play action, dink and dunk. Set yourself up for 3 points to completely capitulate there. Like, I can't believe that.
I mean,
everyone was calling for a timeout, including his boss, like you said, and John Lynch. When they pan up there, he's going, timeout.
That
time
video,
out. What the hell are you doing?
That video is now attached to Kyle Shanahan forever or until he wins. A couple, maybe. I don't know. That's going to be attached to him for a long time.
Oh, it'll never go away. And again, just think of that sequence in terms of how the coaches handled it. As soon as Reed saw that he was putting the ball on the ground, running it, he called timeout because my quarterback will take us down there. So maybe it is ultimately a commentary on the quarterbacks, but it's about how the coaches felt about the quarterbacks. Reed said, well, if you're going to run it, I'll take the timeouts because my guy will get us down there and we'll score. The other guy, well, I'm not putting it up because my quarterback will get it picked.
These guys, the anti-Garoppolo-lites, the Gasper Murray crew, telling me all year they're protecting Garoppolo, they're afraid of Garoppolo, they're protecting Garoppolo, and I never bought into it because I just think when you run the ball that well, why make your quarterback throw? And it's just obvious. When you gain 10 yards a carry against the Packers, why would you have your quarterback throw ever? So, I fought that commentary the entire time. Last night, Shanahan was absolutely afraid of Jimmy Garoppolo.
He was terrified of him.
And there was that second quarter pick, next series, they ran down the field and scored a touchdown, but it was all running plays and short little dump-offs to get him down there. And then when he had a chance to get points at the end of the second quarter, he basically punted. He deferred on it.
I mean, how can you coach that way and win a Super Bowl?
Oh, you can't. You can't.
Like, I'm not going to let my quarterback throw?
Oh, for Christ. For crying out loud. Seriously. I mean, come on. Back to your phone. So we have some Mookie Betts stuff that we want to get to that we'll get to in a second. But let me take a couple calls here first. Sandy North Andover. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi. I'm just calling in to just say a couple things. I like Mahomes. I was glad that they won. And I'm extremely glad you guys wore your raincoats and coats and umbrellas to eat crow. Because isn't Felger a Green Bay fan? So the only reason why you really liked Garoppolo, admit it, is because you were dying to say, see, we should have let Tom Brady go. So please stop denying that because you guys were dying to say that. And I'm so glad that you can't. Thank you.
You're
bye.
You're welcome, blah. Blah, it's a blenami.
Yeah.
I didn't totally get her point. I don't know what the Packers have anything to do with anything.
Me neither. Stick it, Sandy.
Packers. I've never told you the Packers are any good. I've been telling you Garoppolo's good. The Garoppolo thing's far worse. Packers are just, I'm a fan of the team. And I'm not sitting here telling you they're anything special. Garoppolo, that's different. We were invested in Garoppolo. Richie and Quincy. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, guys. I just had one comment and one here. Do you think Wes Welker's on some psychiatrist table or couch this morning trying to figure out what he's done so wrong to the football gods that he can't get a ring?
He's a one-man Buffalo Bill. He's 0-4 in the Super Bowl. That I love, too. That's what you get. I'm glad he was part of that loss last night, too. Catch the ball in Indianapolis.
Mike's in the truck. He's up next on the Bonami. Go ahead, Mike.
Seriously.
Yeah, a couple things. First, I wanted to formally congratulate Murray today on his victory.
Thank you.
I only feel bad that they didn't have a prop bet on Jimmy crapping himself. He could have made a lot of money last night. But, Felger,
over under on pellets in his shorts.
6.
2.5. Go ahead. Sorry.
Felger, I'm 35, which I believe qualifies as a millennial.
Yep.
And I will fully admit that I didn't start watching the NFL until Brady was winning Super Bowls. So I know that I'm spoiled and biased, but I don't think that it's such a big deal to overextend to keep Brady and bring pieces in around him, considering that he has been a key piece in making the franchise what it is today.
But I wouldn't do it for that reason, Mike. What? I mean, so what? You owe that to him? Don't. That's wrong. That's the wrong reason to do it.
But the other thing that I would say is that they're one of the oldest, if not the oldest, team in the league, and they're pretty much going to be forced into rebuilding over the next few years anyways. So why not just get what you can out of what you have?
I don't totally believe that. Why? Because your quarterback's getting old and is going to retire eventually. San Francisco did it. Green Bay did it. Other teams have done it. What? Those teams didn't have to go to the bottom. They didn't have to rebuild. They transitioned to the next guy. So to me, that's what it's about. And to me, it's about the next 10 years. Now, if you're telling me that you can bring Brady back, give him the money he wants, spend the money on the weapons that it's going to take to make him happy, and still be set up well for the next 10 years, if you can thread that needle, okay. But I don't think it, to me, there's a little bit of a choice there to be made. And to me, it's about maximizing Belichick's window, and that's what it's about. And it's about giving him as much time and runway as possible developing the next quarterback. And I think the earlier he can start that process, the better off you're going to be. That's why I feel it's time to move on from Brady. Not because he can't play or anything else. It's about the next 10 years for me. If you're just concerned about the next one in the seventh championship, then I think Brady's back. And if you don't care about what it's going to look like in 5, 6, 7 years, then I can see why you would want him back. And that's what that is. But it has nothing to do with what Brady's done for you in the past or has meant to you in the past. That's not how you should manage your organization.
No. You got to do what's best for the long term, which is, you know, again, we can go back 2 years or not. I'm starting to get concerned, though, that what if Stidham can't play?
Yeah, this is something that's concerning me, too.
What if they think Stidham can't play?
Because, again, I was listening. I didn't hear it myself, but the Midday said that Charlie Weiss said over the weekend in one of his interviews that his personal opinion is that Stidham's not going to be the quarterback next year. And, you know, I haven't heard the sound. I don't know where he said it, but I just heard the Midday mention it. But, it, you know, is the implication that he doesn't think it's going to be the quarterback next year or
ever?
They don't see him being that ever. Because if the kid was really on track, you know, they liked Garoppolo from day one. Whether they're right or wrong, you know, they had a feeling, and I still think they're right, but they had a feeling early on. And they had a feeling about Brady early on. You know, they made him number two on the depth chart. He had four guys on that depth chart. They moved Brady all the way up to number two to start the second year. So they had a feeling. They saw it early. Are they not seeing it with Stidham yet? You know, and that would concern me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it should concern you. Again, that would be a big problem if all of a sudden Brady goes and Stidham's not the guy.
Okay, more of your thoughts on this quick Mookie Betts update as well. Come your way in our long commercial-free segment next.
Duggar has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, to Sports Hub.
Susie, I think the Las Vegas Raiders are poised to pursue Tom Brady if and when he hits the free agent market. Now, whether they can get him to come to Las Vegas is another issue. There'll be a lot of discussions that take place before then, and clearly Robert Kraft will make a push, even though the Patriots and Tom Brady have not discussed numbers yet, and the Patriots are limited to a certain extent about what they could do financially. But if Tom Brady wants weapons, they've got him in Las Vegas. They've got the offensive tackle, Trent Brown, who protected him in New England. They've got a running back in Josh Jacobs. They've got a tight end in Darren Waller. They've got a slot receiver in Hunter Renfrow. And I am told that the Raiders are prepared to pursue him. And the general manager, Mike Mack, has said that basically in the past, we'll look to upgrade every position, no matter what it is, even the quarterback. They cannot acknowledge Tom Brady. They wouldn't say anything about Tom Brady. But I'm told that they are poised to pursue Tom Brady if and when he becomes a free agent.
There's Schefter with that big report on Super Bowl Sunday. At least the DN Van Lines move around the league. Tom Brady, where is he going? Ian Rappaport says LA Chargers are a serious suitor. Says that on Super Bowl Sunday. Mike Florio pushing the Miami Dolphins on that ownership stake there. Further reporting this weekend, say the Patriots are willing to extend themselves financially for Tom Brady. Tom Curran has that. Ian Rappaport said they're willing to go north of $30 million. You made a great point, Maz. What does that $30 million look like? 10 here, 10 there, 10 in an option bonus, 5 in incentives, 12 deferred, or is it a check for 30? Because if the Raiders are really serious, the check's going to be for 30. And so those right there and that potential move is your DN Van Lines move around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover DN Van Line. Another DN Van Line move around the league is actually not. It's going to be the Rodenizer take, Maz.
Yep, and this pertains to Mookie Betts and the Red Sox. Okay, so there was a tweet by Bob Nightingale today of USA Today, and Nightingale tweeted, "The Red Sox report to spring training camp in 8 days, and the biggest surprise will be if Mookie Betts is still wearing a Red Sox uniform and not in Phoenix in Dodgers camp with David Price joining him." The Dodgers are trying to get the Red Sox to pay part of Price's contract. Okay, and again, this just leads us to hot takes by Rodenizer Home Services. Go to Rodenizer.com to learn more. I did some thinking about this over the weekend. I don't like Price as much as anyone else. Okay, I don't like him either. And I would love to get rid of him. But philosophically, boy, do I have a problem with trading your best player in a salary dump or one of your best players. So the Red Sox have done this with the Dodgers before. It was Adrian Gonzalez at the time, but you got rid of two contracts. You got rid of Crawford and you got rid of Beckett. And Crawford had like 5 years left or something like that. It was a big, big nut at that time. So now you're going to trade Mookie just to get rid of Price's contract?
Well, let me ask you this.
Wouldn't you rather have prospects back?
Or what if the Padres are saying you have to take Will Myers back and that's money that you'd have to pay him? Would you rather not have Will Myers and pay David Price $15 million a year in dead money, or pay Will Myers $15 million a year in real money? Do you see what I'm saying?
I'd rather pay Price than Myers, if that's what you're asking.
So that's what I'm asking.
Yep. I'd rather pay Price than Myers.
Well, no. So what I mean is that if you deal with San Diego, you got to take Myers back. And that's essentially dead money on your payroll.
Yeah, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
So instead of us taking on Myers, we'll give you Price and we'll just pay off some of Price's contract. Because either way, you know, with either side.
Sure, I see what you're saying. You're going to have to eat some money.
You're going to have to eat something. There's going to be something unpleasant there. The Will Myers is an unpleasant part of that Padres deal, but it feels like it's attached to it. So maybe the rationale is, well, instead of giving Will Myers, who I just said 15, I don't know what it is. It's up there, right?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
It's like, you know, instead of being responsible for a guy that we hate to pay him that much money, why don't we put some of that cost towards get running this pill and you know, and get out of the David Price thing?
I would do whatever gets me prospects. And so if that means I have to pay Myers to get prospects, then I do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying philosophically, boy, I have a hard time with trading my best player just to dump someone else's contract. I have a hard time with that. And here's the other thing. Like, as much as they say they want to be under the threshold, the big reason to be under the threshold is the compensation you would get from Mookie. Okay? So if you're trading Mookie, what difference does it make? In other words, if it's not the money, then, and you trade Mookie to the Padres, but you get Myers back, fine. Great. You're not losing Mookie anyway. You weren't going to get compensation pick for him at the end of the year. He's gone. So that problem solved. I would rather get prospects back. Their system blows. It blows. It sucks and blows. So now you're going to get rid of, you know, two guys who, and I understand, I don't like Price any more than anyone else does, but I have a hard time trading Mookie Betts and getting nothing.
And I have a hard time saying, and this isn't anything, you know, revealing, because all the big baseball guys have said it, that it's automatic. He's gone. You know, they've put in so many words. I mean, Nightingale says, I'd be stunned if he's not with the Dodgers by the end of this week. And Rosenthal, I think, said something to the effect of, it's happening. It's just a matter of where, San Diego or L.A., and when, what day it happens. And Gammons, I think, had something similar. So I'm not breaking any ground by saying, oh, I really believe it because you can't bring these guys back now. And I'd almost put Price on this list, where Price has been, his name has been attached to this so strongly now that, you know, he's such an asshat to begin with. Now he finds out you've been trying to trade him and you bring him back. How do you think he's going to respond to that?
Brutal.
Even when you're, you know, kissing his ass and, you know, trying to make it work for him and trying to make it the best for him, he's a jerk. Now you've just tried to trade him and you bring him back? Can't. Untenable.
Yeah, look, it feels like they're going down that road. I'm not telling you that part of it's not going to happen. I mean, it sounds like Price and Betts are gone. I just can't tell you how much I hate. My whole thing for trading Betts was, they can't sign him. He wants to go to market. I don't think he wants to be here. Okay, we don't need to relive that argument. But either way, they can't sign him. Right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Or they don't want to sign him.
Right.
So whatever it is, unsignable. Okay, fine. You got to get something for that guy if you're going to trade him. That's the whole point. Like, and I understand you get a little bit of financial flexibility with Price gone, maybe a lot. But if I'm moving my best player, I got to get some young talent in this organization. I have to.
Okay, so the last hour, I think we're going back to the Blinami because, you know, it's deserved. But we, when we clear the decks of this stuff, we're going to have quite, you know, we got the NBA trade deadline on Thursday. Celtics reportedly in on Clint Capella. How do you feel about that? Okay. So that feels like something.
It's not the first time his name's come up with them.
Celtics absolutely wiped the floor with the Sixers over the weekend in a game just sort of stashed there the night before the Super Bowl on a Saturday night. I didn't see one second of it, but feels like it's right up my alley.
Yeah, you would have loved it.
The Sixers, you know, showed themselves to be these clueless bums that I think they are. But we got that. And the Red Sox best player and franchise player and one of the best players in Major League Baseball is about to be traded in a dump. How do you feel about that? So we'll have plenty to talk about this week, but the final hour, we will get back to the Blinami and Tom Brady's future and that reporting over the weekend. 90 seconds, no commercials, and right back to you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.